Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Friday morning. We are broadcasting live over the Omega Radio Network at www.omegaradio.org and blogtalkradio.com/xman777. You can call into the program anytime this morning during our 1 hour broadcast at 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we have to get it right, as my dearly beloved wife Patricia would say, and is probably going to say in about 30 minutes. So where do I want to begin today? I guess with the most sobering reality. On Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, at Kerm Radio, when they had said that there were five people that died on the island of the Bahamas, on Kerm Radio I said, I fear that that number is going to jump into the hundreds or the thousands. Those words came up out of my mouth, out of the Spirit of God. This morning, the newscasters are telling us that they are fearing, now that there are 30 dead, that the numbers would soar into the hundreds or thousands. And immediately when I saw that, after my heart was churned, I remembered the prophecy of Amos chapter 8. And I remember back in the early spring forecasting, because I was so thoroughly convinced that this Amos chapter 8 prophecy would come to pass in the year 2019, would be known as the summer of violence. Summertime lasts until the 22nd this year of September. But the prophecy that begins this way in chapter 8 of the book of Amos, verse 1, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple. So the first thing that we gathered back in the spring is that God was forecasting And he made it clear, it's been in the book for thousands of years. I mean, that scripture has been there for thousands of years. And anybody could have said any summer for the last thousands of years that this event was going to be unfolding. And it did unfold in the days of Amos. I mean, this prophecy did come to pass. But we always remember the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 reminding the Christian community that we are to learn from the prophets. We are to learn from the Old Testament, the things that were written before. Remember Paul said that? The things that were written aforetime, back with the fathers in the Old Testament, that they were written for our admonition and for our learning. So what he was saying is that if God did it back then based upon a particular conduct, God will do it again at any time wherever that particular conduct shows up, particularly in this case among his own people. Now the Bahamas, as Patricia and I recall, about 25 years ago, was a 97% Christian community. 97% of the people on the Bahama Islands were born again Christians. Miles Monroe was there. We went to his conference when one of the great preachers, Rod Parsley, had been there. We visited Miles Monroe's church while we were there. We were at these conferences. We met people out on the beach that were telling Patricia and I that they always prayed away these hurricanes. And it's very interesting. I don't know what happened over the last 25 years. We'd never been there again. And I don't know what happened to the conduct of the people on the islands and on the Bahamas. But I know that God warned this year. It wasn't in 2018 or 2017 or 2001 or 2005 or 2012. It was this year, 2019, that God brought this Amos prophecy into my heart, and he brought light to it. He flipped on a switch. And then the proclamation, the declaration, the forecast from this radio broadcast was that verse 3 would come to pass, that it would happen in the summer. It would begin right here in the summer of 2019. It would be known as the year of violence, the summer of violence. And in verse 3, it went on to say, and the songs of the temple. And this is kind of a connection to what belongs to God, the temple, right? He said, the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. And that phrase probably caused a little bit of uncomfortableness from behind the pulpit saying it, and for those that perhaps were listening to it. But since summer began 2019, we have continued to see violent expressions, not only here in America, but around the world. A lot of violence. But here in America, we saw things that God actually gave us dreams about. Not only did we prophesy these things would be, but God literally gave a dream on Friday, August 2nd, of the two shootings that were going to take place within hours of each other. A little bit different in the dream, but definitely the first one at a mall, second one somewhere on the East Coast, and it turned out to be Dayton, Ohio. And I thought it was in an airport, but it was someplace else. In the dream, it was an airport. But God revealed something within hours in a dream. God revealed that there would be many dead bodies in many places, and we're hearing the horrific tales now of the 34 people, maybe even 39, that were burned alive off the shores innocently, not doing anything, just a violent death of being burned to death. We heard about these active shooter cases. We saw Odessa just recently. And what we are seeing is many dead bodies in many places. But now in the Bahamas, a Category 5 hurricane with winds of over 200 miles per hour moved right over the Bahamas and sat there and decimated, devastated with violence, the Bahamian Islands. Much of it is just toast. And now they are fearing thousands of bodies will be found dead. Why do I tell you this? To elevate myself, to elevate, no, God forbid, but to elevate this word and what it does for me and in me, it puts a very serious tone. Now, here's the reality. Yesterday, I was driving down to the Russellville area to conduct a funeral. Life was going on for those people. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a beautiful drive, presence of God. Today, I got up. I've started planning my schedule. I've got a super busy day ahead of me today, and I'm excited personally. I'm just feeling good with the Lord. And got up early in the morning, spent time with God, had a great Bible study last night. And yet, as I'm trying to get everything lined up for today, the people I'm going to meet with, the things I'm going to do, seems like it's going to be a really great day. But at the same time, there's this reality, this looming reality, that this Amos prophecy is coming to pass. And if they do find hundreds of bodies that are missing, thousands are missing, and the death toll rises, that is just a further... See, my point is, God forecasted it. God forewarned it. God simply had something already written that he said, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the things that happen to them, make sure they don't happen to you. But if you act like them, then the things that happen to them are going to happen to you. God is no respecter of persons. Covenants have changed. He never has. And the New Testament tells us to learn about God from the Old Testament so that we don't make the same mistakes they did and suffer the same consequences. This Amos chapter 8 prophecy is heartbreaking. It's literally heartbreaking. The Bahamian Islands, the beautiful waters, the vacation resort of the world, you know, one of them. Beautiful people. What just happened? How does a hurricane with a Category 5 move at 1 mile per hour and just sit directly on the Bahamas? 25 years ago, 97, 98% of the people there were believers. What happened? The songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. And I don't believe we're finished. You see, the uncomfortableness, while I'm trying to live my daily life with God, and it's a great life God has blessed me with, and I hope he's blessed you with a beautiful life. But we live in this volatile time wherever you go now. I mean, you talk about all the shootings that have just happened in Walmarts and all the attempted shootings and all this crazy stuff around Walmart, who just so happened to be one of the great giant supporters of the LGBTQ community. Just a side note, by the way. Well, we live in the very headquarters of Walmart. And if somebody's angry at Walmart and they want to do all this crazy stuff against Walmart, well, we're in the very headquarters. So you say, well, where's the safest place? I'm going to tell you again, the safest place to be right now is in Jesus Christ. And then there must be a place that God has revealed for a refuge in the last days. And even in that, we're starting to sense the winds and the pressure. There's got to be a place that God will specifically design. And there are thousands and thousands of Christian men and women that are in this area that believe this is one of those places. Let's hope so. Let's pray that they don't open more doors to the adversary like they're doing right now. And again, I'll remind our listeners, when Patricia and I moved here 10 years ago this October, a month away from now, 10 years ago, there were no liquor stores. There were no tattoo shops. There was none of that. Today, there are liquor stores and tattoo shops and the legalization of marijuana. We've still maintained the cause of protecting innocent life. No innocent blood shed in this area, praise God. And no things that really draw the wrath of God. But be careful wherever you are. My point this morning is that this prophecy is not through. And summer is not over. And if I understand this properly, what we said would be a summer of violence, it has just begun. It's a very interesting thing when you deal with prophecy, because we oftentimes, and I fit this as well, I've been there, where you get a prophecy and you say it's going to happen, kaboom, that's it. Well, sometimes things in prophecy just begin. For example, when it says, and in that time or in that day, right? Well, what's God really saying? He's saying that something begins and it has the potential to move on for years. It has the potential. I mean, when the Roman armies went into Jerusalem and decimated the city, and the people went into their captivity and the temple was destroyed, that happened over a long period of time. It wasn't just a one day boom. There was a long period of time for that prophecy to develop and to grow in its full impact. And people were eating shoe leather. They were boiling their babies. They were eating human flesh. You know what it says by the great historian Josephus when he wrote about the conflagration in Jerusalem in 70 AD and all the months into years that were into that whole thing. Well, America has slipped into the nation America, a once Christian nation, has slipped into a lot of these Bible prophecies that were written against Israel from the prophets. Well, the words of the prophets to Israel in their day are loud and clear to America today. And just because Barack Obama comes to the pulpit of the world and says America is no longer a Christian nation, that is not God's perspective. That's his perspective. God views the nation of America a covenant nation with himself, just as he viewed Israel. Israel took on the nature of Babylon. Israel took on the nation, the nature of Sodom and Gomorrah. Their leaders were called the leaders of Sodom and Gomorrah. They took on the nature of Egypt, right? And yet they were Israel, but they'd taken on the spirit of these other infamous nations. America has done the same thing. We've taken on Babylon. We've taken on Sodom and Gomorrah. We've taken on, you know, the national identities of heathen nations, but we are still Israel, so to speak. We're still the covenant nation, America. And therefore, when we read the Word of God, even though we're not under the Old Testament law, we still see a God who judges conduct, regardless of what covenant you're under, especially when judgment begins in the house of God and when you're in covenant with God. A lot of heathen nations are not in covenant with Yahweh. But America and our founding fathers made a covenant. Twice in the Supreme Court of the United States, we were told that we were a Christian nation by the Supreme Court of the United States of America. So we're being judged as such. And we're seeing, and even though the Bahamas are their own commonwealth and they get a tremendous amount of support in the United States, there's a connection. Many Americans live in that area. Americans live all over the world. But the United States of America, I suspect that this prophecy in Amos is not through. I believe this summer actually began it, and that is heart-wrenching to think about. Because what is the prophecy? There shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they will cast them forth in silence. This, at the same time, when God says he's going to darken the earth in the clear day, all the way back down to verse 9, he will cause the sun to go down at noon. He'll darken the earth in the clear day. He'll turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. So something is going to happen to create an environment of lamentation and mourning. And again, the reason I'm sharing this with you is to exalt God's word. But you need to know something. You need to understand that we haven't just been on radio blowing smoke. Honestly, we have been hearing from the Lord and putting forth things so accurate. from God granting dreams of events that happen within hours to a prophetic word out of his word declaring what will be, and we're literally watching it unfold before our eyes. So what is the purpose of telling you that? To give laudation to ourselves? No. To continue to warn that what has begun is going to continue and it's going to bring lamentation and mourning. It's going to bring brokenness of heart. And people are going to see more dead bodies in every place. And we're only touching the things that we know about. We don't talk about the 7 people that were killed over Labor Day weekend, the 34 that were shot in Chicago, the gun-free zone of Chicago, right? We just lightly mention those things. There's so much going on in the planet. And yet, we see good things. We want to live today a good life. We have our families, we have our houses, we have our jobs, our needs are met. We're taking care of business every day. It's sunny, it's blue skies. Everything seems to be so placid in different parts of the country. There's communities everywhere that are going about their business, and there are soccer games and races, and there are all kinds of hundreds of different entertainment things going on. And I have a sense that the entertainment sector of our society at this time isn't going to last long. But again, what we have to remember is on the Titanic, when the ship, and this is history, right? This is real. This isn't made up. When the ship was sinking, the entertainment was out on the deck playing their violins and their trumpets and their instruments. The entertainment of the mind of the masses will continue to the very end until we get to the place. And this is, by the way, not just in the book of Revelation. This, what I'm about to share with you, has been repeated time and again. And what is it? It says here, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence, we're talking about the summer of violence, shall that great city Babylon, or that great nation, or that great people, whatever, shall be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. The voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now, when did the entertainment on the Titanic cease? When they were drowned in the sea. When the Titanic finally went down, there was no noise of a harp or a viola in the middle of the ocean. The eerie silence of that cold night as people were trying to get in their lifeboats, the survivors, while hundreds perished and the ship sank. Then there'll be no more sound. Right up to that moment, they were playing their music, entertaining the people. The entertainment industry in the world today, and particularly issuing out of Hollywood, California, and all forms of entertainment, whether it be sport or whether it be news media, video, whatever it is, whatever the entertainment is, it will come to a cease when the millstone, when the sinking, when the event happens. And what is the event? Well, according to this prophecy, going back to Amos, there's an event coming that is going to create an environment of a very bitter day. What is that event? What could that event possibly be? Well, time will tell, but there's no doubt that it's here. And as we experienced last week, when a little tiny storm came in overnight, and the winds blew at about 70 to 75 miles an hour, and people were without electricity, and the trees went down, we could see a microcosm of what just happened in the Bahamas. They're predicting more major Category 5s, and they're even talking about Category 6 weather forms, which is natural disaster, unless, of course, it's being controlled and directed by different artificial intelligence or technology groups somewhere around the world. We've all heard about HAARP and all of that. But the fact of the matter is, as the California is having another problem with their fires, and we're witnessing a prophecy come to pass. And it's all about the end. I'm not passing by anymore. That's how Amos begins. I'm not passing by anymore. In other words, I'm not just going to correct you in measure and then move on and then revisit you again. No, I'm coming to the point. I've come to the point. I'm not passing by. I'm staying here, but I'm staying in judgment because of the conduct and the condition of your nation. And I know to the natural eye, everything looks so normal. Our restaurants are packed out. Our malls, everybody's shopping. People are growing up. Children are coming to the age of going to school. There's high school sports. There's high school education. There's college and universities. And, you know, life is going on. But that should not be a trick on your mind as a believer, just because in the days of Noah, everybody was buying and selling, building and, you know, planting and marrying and giving in marriage. The world looked very normal. But the day came that the door was shut because some guy by the name of Noah up in a mountain was building an ark, which was mocked and scoffed at for 100 years. But while the world was doing what the world was doing, Noah was simply caught away in a mountain, building a boat with his three sons. And the day came, and they entered into the ark, and the door was shut, and the flood came. Today, we are promised that we will never be flooded again, the whole earth. Now, we've seen massive floods everywhere, deluges that are like crazy. And I think they're like wake-up calls, memories. But then when you read the New Covenant, you realize, well, the whole earth won't be destroyed by a flood anymore. This time it will be destroyed by fire. What is that fire? What is that fire? Is it a sunbeam blast? It is a coronal mass ejection from the sun? Well, it says in the book of Revelation that the people of the earth will be scorched by the sun. But that doesn't happen until after the catching away of the church, which is immediately following the Great Tribulation. Then you actually have an event. But along the way, there are some other events that are likened unto that. And if it's not a coronal mass ejection, is it an electromagnetic pulse that's going to take out the millions? We're told by our experts, 30 days, 30 million people dead in an electromagnetic pulse. Could be created by a CME or could be created by a man-made weapon. Many dead bodies in many places, everywhere. What kind of an event would do that? What kind of a extinction level event is at the door? That the unsuspecting masses who are being consumed by the entertainment industry are ignoring. And yet if your eyes are open and you're paying attention and you're listening to what has been said, how could we ignore it? We would have to become willingly ignorant at this point to deny that prophecy is in full bloom right now over our nation and around the world. And we basically know where it's all going. These events that are coming, in our understanding, when this World War III, where 2 billion people are killed, I mean, all that's just leading up to the Great Tribulation, where the son of perdition will come to full bloom power because Satan and his hierarchy will be thrown onto the earth. And he'll awake and say he's got a short time. And with fury, he will begin his program against everything called God, everything that keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony and faith of Jesus Christ. We know that's where it's going. And we're reading the signs along the way. And I hope we're not ignoring them or just turning on like in the days of Ezekiel, when the people heard Ezekiel preach, they turned on and said, whoa, he's a great entertainer. We love listening to him. He's like listening to a concert opera singer. And yet God said in Ezekiel, but they will not do what the prophet Ezekiel told them to do. They heard it. It was entertaining to them. But they would not do what God said to do. And so what is God saying to do? If you and I have come to a place of believing that the prophecy of Amos chapter 8, just as one of hundreds of other examples of prophecy that could be conducted upon our nation, but they all kind of fit the same pattern of destruction because of the conduct, okay, and our open war against God. If we've come to the place of believing it, then what is it that we're supposed to do? Why do the prophets tell the people what's coming? And then when they tell the people what's coming and they begin to see the things they said come to pass, what should the people be doing? What should we be doing? Last week, again, we had a storm go through. We got caught with coming up short in a few areas. We had some things that God told us years ago to prepare, and thank God we did, because those very things, like extension cords, God told me years ago, buy extension cords, big fat ones and little ones and short ones and long ones. And I had a whole tool drawer of extension cords that when we finally had a brother share his generator with us, we were able to run all those extension cords into many different places to keep things alive that we would have lost. So what else should we be doing? Running in fear, panicking? No, we should continue to be preparing. And you know, and I know, we've said it so many times, the first part of the preparation is the heart, the mind, the soul, the spirit. And then you must pay attention to the bodily preparation. And sometimes we put great emphasis on bodily preparation. But let me tell you something. Bodily preparation is very important. It's very important. Not only for yourself, but for others. So there has to be a full-blown preparation. And we need to ask ourselves, are we fully prepared? And what will I do today to continue to prepare for the things that God is revealing, the things that are actually coming to pass in the season that we're in? We're hearing the truth. We're reading the Bible. There's no man-made prediction here. It's just God's word that he's putting light on to turn on so that we could see it, what he's saying, and it's happening. Good morning, Patricia. How are you this morning, dear lady?
I am doing well. One more day to get it right. And hopefully every day we're getting it righter. Is that a particular word used? No? Okay.
I don't know if getting it righter is good or not. I would have to challenge that.
And so would I. But speaking about judgment, people have different opinions regarding whether or not we're in justice. Things are turning around and justice is being done, or is this judgment, the judgment hand of God? And to me, looking around and about, it is pretty obvious that judgment is hitting, and it's hitting severely, and it's getting more intense and stronger by months, and God will intervene. So the question is, why is he intervening? And I believe it's to deal with injustices that we see in the political realm, in sin that we're seeing as far as murder is concerned, abortions, homosexuality, the multitudes of things that are just absolutely incredibly destructive. And so in itself, they're destructive. So he deals with injustice. He deals with sin for the benefit of mankind and to further his purposes, or we would all self-destruct, which appears to be happening even now. And we know the purpose of the destruction is to bring in a one-world government. So we're bringing these things upon ourselves through sin. And once we become understanding of this, I think things will become clearer and we'll be able to judge better for ourselves as to what in the heck is going on. And so this is the way it is at this point in time. God is judging. And what I see happening in the Bahamas, it's definitely judgment.
And Patricia, it's, you know, it's very easy to understand, you know, that judgment was at the door when you know the meaning of the word judgment. When you look at the word judgment three times in the New Covenant, it is always about separating. And yet there is a Greek word called krisis, which is one of the major words for judgment. Krisis, it's where we get the English word crises. So wherever you see a crisis, you are seeing judgment. And if you don't see crises in the Bahamas, then you don't understand it. I mean, if you don't see crises in Odessa, Texas, or a crisis in El Paso, or a crisis in Dayton, Ohio, or a crisis at Parkland, Florida, or a crisis in Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the other crises that began, particularly on 9/11/2001, you don't understand. We've been under judgment. But judgment, when it is no longer taken heed to, the purpose of judgment is to separate the people from their sin.
And to wake them up.
Yeah, but it's really designed, judgment, to separate the people from their sin, turn them back to God. So when judgment no longer produces the intended result of separating a people or a nation or a church or whatever back to the Lord, then they're turned over to destruction. And that is where we are in that realm of destruction. And I just want to share this. There's something I was saying a little bit earlier about the entertainment. And it's in Ezekiel 33, which is very interesting because the beginning of Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman who will have blood on his hands if he doesn't say what God tells him to say or he doesn't show the people and warn the wicked. That's all in 33. But later on, it says in verse 31, and they come unto you as the people come, and they sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do them not. And when this comes to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. And Patricia, that's kind of what we sense a lot of the word of the Lord that's going forth. And if you look at what that word was, it's about God laying the land low for the desolations and the abominations being committed in the land. And so we can't afford to be listening to these broadcasts and then seeing things come to pass and never really responding in the intended purpose of repentance, confession, brokenness, and a changed life towards God and a preparation for what God is saying he's going to accomplish on the land. How are God's people going to walk through this earth when there are prophecies that a great strike will hit the heart of the United States and people will be wandering from sea to shining sea, and that Katrina is the picture multiplied 1,000 times in cities across America? And how are you going to live at that time?
Well, you can't. You see, because sin, however, is always judged to be worthy of death. That's in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. So sin has grown in capacity because God has been pushed out of the way. Now, I'm not talking about gods. I'm talking about the true and everlasting God, the creator of all things. And so that which was once purposed in the last 2,000 years to be a reality and truth and went all over the world to explain the true and living God, that has been denied. And so now people are taking themselves as the ones that are going to judge all things because they are the greatest judges of all, human, every individual. They are the ones that are making the judgment. No longer does it belong to God. In other words, we have become gods, not you and I, but people who believe that they are the ones to control the world and to designate what is true and what is not true and what is sin and what is not sin. And it's become a sinless, a sinful world, greater than ever before. And it's growing in sinfulness. So the wages of sin is death, and the world is guilty of it. And few now are being repentive in their hearts for the murderous spirits we have and the injustice. And consequently, more and more judgment is being unleashed upon the earth. And Satan is having a field day. His time has come because we are giving permission through our sinful manner and way. And this judgment is starting in the house of God. And many in the house of God now, Christians, are being judged in their families, in their lives, in various other ways. But be it known that after that is complete, the greater judgment is being now unleashed upon the world itself. We're going to see more and more destruction coming in every form imaginable. So what do we do as Christians? And what does the world do? If the world continues in its way, it's going to get darker. If Christians don't fall on their face and ask forgiveness for their unbelief and their selfishness, we too will be put in the same category. If we want salvation and we want it through the various way of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have it. So we must make a decision. The truth be known, the wages of sin is death.
Well, amen to that, and it's the truth. And when I had asked you the question, you know, how do you live in an environment of devastation, like in the Bahamas, right? People are there. How would they live without the outside help and resources of others? You have to have a plan. You have to be able to have Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Almighty God, our Father, guiding and directing your life. And, you know, whether you're a righteous individual or an unrighteous individual, Ezekiel, again, the prophet, prophesied that in the day of this kind of devastation, the only people that would save themselves would be Noah, Daniel, and Job, the most righteous people in Scripture that we can find. And he mentions that several times. But there will be many people that are getting caught in these snares along the way. You know, an interesting factoid about the Bahamas, as I understand it, that the Bahamas are not or have ever been a U.S. territory or owned by the U.S., but they are a commonwealth, and they actually have their own sovereign constitution and laws and the right to govern themselves. So if that is the fact on that, you know, there are so many people go down to this paradise island and they have a vacation and resort. And there are many different people from around the world that go there. What is the picture here?
I believe the picture, and I have mentioned this before, and I'm not sure I'm being heard, but I have noticed how this storm has come in to Florida and then pulled off. Come in again to the Carolinas and then pulled off, coming back and forth, almost as though it's trying to get its way in for a full-fledged destructive work, as though it has its own mind. And I believe it does have a mind. It has a mind through technology. I believe it is being technically controlled. Now, that's my opinion. However, there's evil behind that. I believe that in Florida, Christians got on their knees. I was told by a number of people that they have been praying and praying and praying for that storm to go back into the sea. And it kept trying to come back, and then it would leave again, come back and leave again. And they were fulfilled in their prayer. I believe that it's going to have its way. These storms are going to have its way when there is not a warfare, a spiritual warfare of prayer going on. If the Bahamas did not get on their knees and pray against that storm in truth. Now, I'm not talking about just a good idea. I'm talking about knowledge of the authority in which they have. If they did not get on their knees and by the authority of Jesus Christ cast that storm out into the sea, that storm had all the ability to get right in there through evil intelligence. Now, a lot of people may think I'm out of my mind on this, but I'm telling you, prayer is the answer to everything, and sincere prayer by the power of the living Christ.
Amen. So in other words, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that is powerful prayer. I want to open the telephone lines up this morning, and you know, we've been making some declarations and sharing our thoughts, but you know, we're connected to a community of believers that have the intelligence of the Holy Spirit, and we know that the full mind of Christ is revealed when we communicate. And so if you have some thoughts about what's going on in our country and in different places around the world and where we are in time and some things you'd like to share, then please make sure you call us at 818-369-0326. And it looks like we have a call coming in right now from area code 479-238. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, pastors. You were Bill? Correct 100%. Good morning. Dr. Miles Monroe was from the Bahamas, and when he taught on the kingdom and the kingdom of God, he said that they had a better understanding of it because they were under Britain's control, and they still, you know, sing to the Queen and all that over there, and they still raise the flag, you know, to Britain, even though they're a British Commonwealth. So he said they have a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God. So yeah, the Bahamas is a British Commonwealth. You were correct on that, Pastor.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, that is the key. But it's what is 70 miles off? What do you have here?
Comes up on the program. Number of people calling in saying that's the way they believe it is also.
Well, amen. And that is a good confirmation. You know, the Bahamas 70 miles off. Sure, I think it is, or 100 miles, whatever it is. It's very close to this country, but it is its own sovereign constitution. They're their own people. I think they actually gained independence in 1973 from Great Britain, was the reality that was where they're, because it goes all the way back to Christopher Columbus. There's a whole article we could share on that, but just devastating. What are your thoughts about what's going on over in the Bahamas? What are your thoughts about the Amos chapter 8 prophecy? We would love to hear from you. As a matter of fact, I'd like to go back to Bill again and ask him, Brother Bill, you know, what are your thoughts? You've been hearing this Amos chapter 8 prophecy for months now. Do you think we're actually seeing that, or are we looking at something else from your understanding?
I think we're right in the middle of it. And I believe Pastor Pat was right regarding that storm on how it's being controlled, not only by the prayers of the saints, but by people that have nefarious intentions.
Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. So right in the middle of it, that's one perspective. What about you? Are you out there today wondering, you know, do you have some bit of information from the Holy Spirit you could share with us right now? Let's take our next call coming from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You are live on the air.
About 9 years ago, my husband and I, we were on a cruise, and then, of course, we were in the Bahamas. And so one of the islands that they had you go and tour around on, it was St. Martin's and St. Thomas. So we had two stops there. So my husband is walking out on the beach one day, and Oh, it was heavy alcohol. It's all pleasure when we were there. And so anyway, he's walking, and this gentleman is there, and he's lived there all of his life. And he says, Ken says, whoo, what are all these houses? They're beautiful here, he says. Who do they belong to? Oh, he says, well, people, he says, from the States. By. He says, well, that one there right there is Clinton's house, he said. They have, that's their house right there. Oh, Ken said. And so let me tell you, it's a lot of sin everywhere, but we did not see anything that pertained to godliness when we were there 9 years ago.
Okay, very good. Let me ask you this. I want to get your perspective also, because you're very insightful. Do you believe that this Amos chapter 8 prophecy is happening right now? Is that something we could really look at, that we could actually communicate it to the highest echelons of people in this country, from the pulpit to the, you know, the politicians? Do you see the Amos chapter 8 prophecy taking place?
Absolutely, because prior to you bringing that on in your radio station, our friends that live up in northern Minnesota, I had gotten a phone call from him and his wife, and he said God had showed him that identical thing in the Word of God. And I said, so every time I hear you bring that out, I said, my God, God is showing the same thing to people all over the land. Definitely, it's started, and it will be fulfilled.
Well, there it is. There it is. That's another witness. What a witness. Thank you. So we've got several people. What are your thoughts? Do you believe that we're here? Because there are other voices out there that actually are saying that the opposite is true, that America is being blessed by God, that it's turning to God, it's changing for God. Do you see that? What are your thoughts about that? The number to call, 818-369-0326. You know, we don't have to be enemies because we see things differently. Honest to God, we do not have to be enemies. Everybody has a right to see things from their perspective. But it was like the other day on KERM Radio, I had this guy call in, and he openly admits that he's been smoking marijuana his whole life, and he smokes marijuana now, but he has a great relationship with the Lord, and then he begged me that I would get filled with the real Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, let me get this right. You're smoking marijuana, having a great relationship with the Lord, and because I'm proclaiming the righteous judgment of God upon the nation, then, Patricia, what did you hear in that? What are your thoughts?
I know this. God desires that his churches reflect his character. I can't see the Lord sitting there blowing pot. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. He's asking us to have his character through the Holy Spirit. In order to do this, we have to know who he is. I don't believe that man knows who he is. Part of this involves, you know, God's judgment. And I hope no judgment on that man, but it looks as though he's already in it. If we are going to be against his judgment, then we will also be against his glory, because it goes hand in hand. And God is glorified not only through receiving Jesus Christ as his personal, as our personal Savior, but also through judgment. And we have to understand that he's trying to wake us up.
And he's calling all men everywhere to repent. You know, the warning signs and the trumpets that are being blown, as our friend said, from all over the world, is to call sinners to repentance. I mean, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. So we're not trying to be self-righteous, holier-than-thou hypocrites.
No.
We've all sinned and fallen short, but we heard the message, and the fear of the Lord provoked a transformation. And we want the message to go out to a sinful world. The judgment's coming. Repent. Enter into the ark. There is salvation to be had. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 231. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Vincent. It's Kurt. How are you doing?
Hey, Kurt. Good to hear from you, sir. How are you?
Yeah, real good. Hey, a number of years, Rick Wiles gave a prophecy. It was actually from his daughter, Carissa, and I made a whole bunch of CDs regarding that. And what she had told was that, you know, this judgment was coming, and she saw a bunch of, the Lord had shown her a bunch of people like in the fall playing, tossing a football, and then all of a sudden a bomb went off. Another group of people were sitting around a table, passing a meal and being, you know, entertained with themselves, and then a bomb went off. Another instance was people were at a football game and then a bomb went off. And then there were immigrants coming to the country, and one of the immigrants had said, my America, I just got here, and stuff like that. And so these are, you know, that was way back then, and it was kind of, when that happened, I actually thought, you know, that was just around the corner. And, you know, we had more time, more or less. We had a little bit of reprieve, but now is the time to get prepared and do that physically, because those are the kind of events that are going to be coming and are going to really take people by surprise.
Well, absolutely. Whether it's a massive hurricane or a massive earthquake or a volcano blowing over in the big park of Yellowstone, or a nuclear bomb or a dirty bomb or a super bomb of some sort, you know, anything could change our lives in a moment. Isn't that the truth? I mean, just everything could change in a moment. We just saw it here a week and a half ago. In one overnight storm, our lives changed, and for 3 or 4 days, it was totally different.
And it was such a lightweight. We lost electricity.
I know.
And everything turned upside
now,
down.
Now, I have to admit, though, and I have to say that the Ark was well protected.
It was.
You know, in our
it
little rented home,
was.
It was a little different in this neighborhood. But the Ark was taken care of because there were good preparations and backup power and all that good stuff. But they didn't even get touched by it, which is really good. And I thank God for that. We're humbly saying that. All right. Very good. Well, Kurt, thanks for the call. And I think that was a great impartation of once again telling people to get ready and prepare. And we're just waiting for you. And one thing I did want to ask Kurt, just from his perspective, Kurt, one more thing. Do you believe that this Amos chapter 8 is a valid prophecy that we could be sharing with people at every level, saying, hey, if you want to know what's going on, here it is? Do you see it that way?
Yes, I do. And I did have that prophecy that spoke about how, you know, Noah and others would only be able to save themselves during that time. And so that's something I actually had, I had cut out and put on my cubicle wall just as a reminder and everything. But yeah, that's the real deal for sure.
It's the real deal. Well, I happen to agree with that perfectly. All right. Well, thank you. That call's coming from the Michigan area. We've had South Dakota at home. We're waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. If there's something you would like to share with us, we would love to hear from you. We're getting tidbits of information. Well, our brother was talking about the bomb going off, Patricia. I mean, what an image that leaves in the mind. That could be one of the preparations that, you know, groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda or groups domestically, whoever, are intending to get to the point. And I want to say this, 2020, you know, I really believe that maybe 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 50 years ago, that somewhere in the dark rooms behind the scenes, there was a projection that we need to accomplish our goal of dismantling the United States in order to bring about a global governance.
Absolutely.
And I kind of get this sense in my spirit that 2020 was the visionary goal. And so time will tell. But here we are, 2019. We've got a few weeks left before we end the summer period and enter into the fall. So final thoughts before you go.
Yes,
we've got 1 minute.
Yes, I want to make this one suggestion and point. In rejecting God, people who choose to follow their own lust desires, what did God do in response? He let them do it. He gave them over to their lust. He gave them over to a depraved mind. He allowed them to live as they wanted. What this judgment is not God pouncing everybody with his fist. He simply removes his hand of protection from the evil one, and Satan and his cohorts begin to have their way, in which the desire is to take the world, destroy it, and have everyone in hell for eternity. And so when he removes his hand, all destruction will come, because it will have full right to do so.
And the nations are crying peace, and there is no peace. Heavenly Father, as we leave the broadcast today, we want to ask your blessing upon everyone listening. We want to ask for your super success upon every life, spirit, soul, and body. Father, we're asking for your favor in the name of Jesus, and that together we will push back the principalities and powers and the darkness that are seeking to invade our hearts and minds and lives. We thank you for your hedge around our lives. We thank you for the protection from the blood of the Lamb. We pray for the salvation of our families, our friends. We pray that sinners will repent and you will be glorified once again by the work you accomplished on the cross, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving our souls. Help us to be a light and a testimony and a witness to a lost world around us while we can. Father, thank you for the life you've given us. Thank you for the time you've given us. And thank you that our hope is not in this world, but the one to come, the time that we're going to meet you face to face. We're going to look in your eyes. And until that moment, may we continue by the power of your Spirit and by the grace that you have so lavishly and abundantly poured out on every one of us. May we stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, may we stand therefore and continue to do what is right. May every strategy, every trick, every scheme of the devil be exposed before it has any power over any person's life. We give you all the praise and the glory. We praise you for this weekend that we have. A Shabbat is coming up, Father God, a Sabbath rest for your people. May we take advantage of that and receive the benefit of it, and especially those that will gather together this weekend in communion and fellowship and breaking of bread with the scriptures. We do it all in the name of Jesus, and without Jesus, we wouldn't be doing it at all. So we love you, thank you, and praise you. Until we meet again, saints of God, be blessed in Jesus' name. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. My beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, has joined me once again. We'll see you on Monday, Lord willing, and we pray that it will be a kind of a normal weekend, but only God knows. Keep your head in the heavens, keep your thoughts on Christ, and be strong and be bold and very courageous in Jesus' name. Right now on the Omega Radio Network at omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion with some of the most brilliant minds this side of the Mississippi. I'm not really sure what side of the Mississippi we're on. We're actually on the west side of it. So anyways, enjoy that meeting. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Shalom.